up, everybody. Let's talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Let's jam, everybody. I'm psyched. I'm so psyched. What episode is this? Is this 13?
13.
Season 5, episode 13. It's called Buffy's Birthday Goes Wrong Again.
Once more into the breach.
For the 20th time in a row.
We are recording this a couple of weeks after Buffy's birthday.
Which aww. I thought was... When's her birthday?
The 19th. They change it a bunch. Initially, January? Of January. In season 1, her birthday was in October.
That's what I remembered. Because I remember something about, like, Halloween.
But the past four seasons...
she was a fall baby.
The 2 through 5, she was born January 19th.
They were just testing out October. It didn't work. They changed their minds. It's fine.
Because do you remember? You probably don't. The only reason I remember this is because she's already shaking her head. the only reason I remember this is because I took a screenshot of it when I was first watching Buffy. But there's a... it's the computer episode. It's when they're all going into, like, they're looking at, like, the school files or whatever, and they look at Buffy's, and it says, you know, her birthday is October, whatever, 25th, 1979. They moved her birthday to January of 1980, but it says her GPA is, like, a 2.4.
Is that... That wouldn't be very good. That would only be a little bit more than half on a 4-point scale.
Yeah, I was like, Buffy? I
know. I mean, the whole reason that she got transferred to that school is because she burned down part of her last school. Like, she's clearly not focused on academics.
She failed the not burning down the school class.
Yeah, and I've never once blamed her. And this is coming from somebody who loves school. I love school. But I'm like, this girl has got bigger fish to fry. Bigger vampires to stake, if you will.
And she still got into, like, a UC school. Which, UC schools, even in California...
is Sunnydale not, like, is it the University of California Sunnydale?
Mm-hmm, it's UC Sunnydale.
I don't know what that means.
University of California Sunnydale.
Oh,
so, like, UCLA or UC... Oh, Caroline.
So, I thought it was, like, community college.
No.
And I remember being... I had that conception in my head... Because she was so bummed about it. I guess she just wanted to get out, because I get that. I mean, I was bummed. I went to the University of North Texas, which is about an hour away from where my parents live. And I remember being like, I wish I was doing something dramatic. I had this girl that I knew that I didn't even like. I didn't even like her. But she was going to Boston, and I was like, I wish I was going to Boston. So I guess that's all it was. I thought, for some reason, I had it in my head that, like, she was bummed that she had to go to Sunnydale because it was a community college, and, you know, there's that stigma around community colleges where it's like they're not equal.
I think,
bless you.
Thank you. I think the problem was that, she got into Northwestern, which, I'm sorry, even with great test scores, I do not believe that Buffy got into Northwestern. like, I just don't. I'm sorry. Like, yeah. I like that she's smart, and she's obviously smart, but she's never been book smart. We've never seen that side of her.
And it's also, you can be, like, even if she was, she doesn't have the time to put into school that it takes to make those kinds of grades.
Yeah.
I mean, like, the people that I know that went to Northwestern, all they did was school.
Yeah.
You got a cough today?
I didn't think I did, and then we started talking.
Vitamin C? I know, goodness.
I don't feel sick, it's just there's like a little mucus kind of thing. I think
it's frog in your throat. Don't say mucus on our podcast.
Mucus.
Jesus Christ.
Mucous membranes. In any case, this was a really good episode.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I'll tell you right now, I'm already deciding between a 9 and a 10.
Ooh.
I was like, is this a 10? Am I going to give this a 10? But I laughed out loud a couple of times. I gasped. A couple of my notes are, yeah, get them. Like, so, I mean, that's usually what makes a 10 in my book. I'll decide after we talk our way through it.
Mm-hmm. So much plot happens. So much plot happens, but it doesn't feel, like, weighed down by it.
Yeah, and it doesn't feel like we're conveying information to you. Yeah,
it
you
just,
know?
It feels so, like, it just feels like a natural conclusion. Because Dawn has been, like, Dawn has been,
she's
like,
been trying to figure out what's been going on
for a couple of episodes.
Time.
Like, she's been sneaking in and hearing things, but not really understanding what it is.
Yeah, and like, she's also been asking to be let in for so long that, like, even before she started sneaking around and trying to get the information for herself,
yeah,
she was being like, why don't you ever tell me anything? Why won't you take me on patrol?
Yeah,
and you take
yeah,
everybody
I could
else?
Go patrolling, and Buffy's like, maybe when you're never.
Yeah. So it's like, it makes sense that they show this kind of breaking point, I guess, where, I mean, yeah, let's call it that. Like, there's this kind of breaking point where she's like, fuck y'all, I'm gonna go. I was trying to be nice, and I was trying to do it, but I just, like, I can't take this anymore.
But nobody's trusting me with this information, whatever it is.
Right. And so, which would honestly... Go ahead.
We're so polite.
I mean, honestly, I know. I mean, it would honestly, like, if somebody was acting that way around me, I would have the exact same... I would come to the same conclusion that she did, which is, this is obviously about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the only reason that they wouldn't be telling me it by now. Because if it was, like, if it was just Glory, they would have told her, hey, this is what you need to watch out for. This is what she looks like.
Right.
If you see
be
her,
careful.
Here's the plan. Exactly. But they're not telling her anything, which makes her realize that she's like, are they scared of me or something like that?
Yeah. And, like, it's – this season is so good. It's so good.
I'm really enjoying it.
But Buffy, like, you see Buffy, like, she opens up to Dawn about Riley, even, like, you see her, like, so it's not that she keeps everything. So Dawn, you think Dawn's not unreasonable for thinking, like, this, like, thing that's being kept from me has something somewhat to do with me. Because it's not like Buffy just keeps all aspects of her slaying life, her personal life, everything from Dawn. She doesn't.
Yeah.
She is very open with her most of the time.
They're super open. And it's even, Buffy kind of runs, like, interference between her and her mom, too. Which, like, I have an aunt like that. Like, one time my aunt was living with us when I was in high school. And
I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what's wrong with my throat. It really didn't start until I started talking.
Wow, classic.
I know.
But yeah, so I had these friends who would take advantage of me all the time. And they came over to my house one time when my parents weren't home, and they knew where my dad kept beer. And they, like, went and got a bunch of it, and I didn't get mad at them because I didn't know how, right? It's like they're my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just, like, let them do it, and then I was trying to dispose of all the evidence, and I didn't get it all. Eesh. And so my parents came, and I wasn't even at the house. I left to go do something else. But my parents came home with my aunt, and they found all the beer. And my aunt was texting me being like, hey, dude, heads up, you're fucked. Like, and I was like, no, what happened? And she was like, there were beer cans in the bathroom. And I was like, no. And I was freaking out. But, like, that's what this reminded me of when, especially at the very end, when Dawn's like, is mom mad that I started a fire in the house?
Yeah.
And Buffy's like, no, she, you know, she loves you and this is traumatic. And Dawn's like, you think I could get her to raise my allowance? And Buffy's like, don't push it. You know, and it's like, it's just this kind of like, it's so nice when you have somebody who is an adult and they can kind of help you a little bit, mm-hmm. like by being like, you can ask them questions, you know, being like, Like I was texting my aunt that night being like, okay, should I lie? And my aunt was like, no way. They already know.
Right.
And so I was like, okay, so should I do this? And she was like, no, I would get your friends together and I would all come over and apologize. And that's what we did. Mm-hmm. And, or the ones who weren't chicken enough to come over and face my dad. But who's the smallest, kindest little man.
I love your parents so much.
He's the best. My dad was asking me about Buffy and he was like, so her friends are vampires. And I was like, no, it's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, she's not friends with vampires. And I didn't even have time to go into, like, Angel and Spike.
Right.
And stuff like that. And he was like, then why does she take them to see the vampires? And I was like, and he says, like, that, vampires every time.
Vampires.
I know, I was trying to explain it to him. They're thinking about watching it. I caught my mom listening to the podcast the other day.
I love it.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Kelly. I was Googling something, and I can't remember why, but I was Googling, is Buffy the Vampire Slayer? And I don't remember what the end of that phrase was, but, like, there were two things on Google that were, is Buffy the Vampire Slayer a vampire? And I was like,
no,
guys. I feel like I need to have an intervention with the world and be like, she's just a human. This is not a Blade situation. This is just
a human. You threw that in there. I haven't seen that movie, by the way.
Blade?
Yeah, but I figured it out. Somebody explained the plot to me, and I was like, so he's an android, right? And they were like, fuck. But anyway, so let's get into this, because I had so much fun. Okay, so it starts like, we'll skip over the build-up, I guess. So, okay, the one important thing, though, they tell the gang that Dawn is the key.
Everyone knows now.
And they do exactly what Buffy thought they would.
They act weird. They make it weird. And honestly,
their behavior is what pushes Dawn to that breaking point. And Spike makes a really good point this episode. It's like, she would have done this no matter what.
Right.
At some point. Like, right now, this is the instance where, like, I walked with her to the magic shop and, you know, this is why she got to that point. But, like, it would have just been a different circumstance a little bit more down the line. And so everybody does exactly what they think she's going to do. And, like, they stop talking when she enters the room. And Xander tickles her, which is horrific.
Yeah. I don't know how I would act. I probably would do the exact same and be like, hey, Dawn, what's up? You human?
Yeah, exactly.
You real human person?
So how do you enjoy having skin? It's great. Don't you love having skin?
I have had skin for at least 20 years.
And you have had skin for 14, right? Yep. Love it.
And blood. Wow. but like, because he's like, you know, Dawn has a bit of a crush on me. Which maybe she did at the beginning of this season, but there has been no instances since then that she might.
I do like their relationship because he does, like, they're friends, you know? And that's one thing that I really like that they did with this is just that, like, I mean, because everybody else remembers, too. That's what's, like, so crazy. It's just that it's, like, they literally just wrote her into existence. Mm-hmm. Like, from, like, they wrote her timeline into an already existing timeline.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. So now everybody has all these memories of her. And I love that they, because Dawn just jumped right in. And I remember being like, man, I'm supposed to think something's up, but I have no idea what's going on.
Right, I remember you being like, so did she just, like, move here? Like, has Buffy always had a sister and she just never mentioned it?
Yeah, and that's what I was thinking, because I was like, there's no way that this chick could just show up, because that's what you think. Right. You know, it's like, this chick shows up, you don't think, oh, she must be magical. You think, like, that's clearly not an option. There must be some other explanation, which is why it's a perfect lie.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I do really like their relationship, and I like the relationship that she has with Willow and Tara as well, and,
Spike, I think she's starting to.
I loved that part and Spike, of this episode.
And Spike, like, Spike is treating her, and he's such an interesting guy. Like, he really is such an interesting character. Like, I don't ever feel like he doesn't ever treat anyone differently. Like, he never, like, unless he doesn't like you, like he hated Riley, and he doesn't really like Xander that much. But, like, he treats everyone the same. He treated Joyce.
I think it's kind of like, okay, here's an analogy. So I met this woman who had just moved to America, like, within the last year, and she was from Russia. And she said that whenever she moved over here, she was shocked to find out about all these racial issues that we've been having, because she said, to me, you're all Americans. Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of, like, the same type of situation here where, like, you know, they're fighting and they're trying to decide, like, who's closer to Buffy and who's the most involved in the Scooby gang. And, like, mm-hmm. Xander has all these insecurities. And Spike is literally, like, it's me and Buffy and the rest of you are shit. Like,
yeah.
Like, you don't mean anything. And, like, not that he's rude to them because of it, but it's, like, you can tell the way he treats it. He's like, I could kill you. Which, and the way he's treated them is changing since he's gotten the chip in his head because he doesn't have that power over them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, man. Yeah, I really love this episode. What the scene where Buffy confronts... Okay, so... Here, let's skip over... Okay, wait. There's a couple of great points I want to point out.
Mm-hmm.
So, when they're having the Buffy birthday party, and Buffy goes, Prezzies! I was like, I love that. That is literally me when I get any gift. Second of all, I love Anya going, oh, wow, this is so exciting. I want those presents. And, like, just saying it, because that's also me when somebody else gets a present. I love those lines. Can you tell me who wrote this?
Yeah, it's actually their first episode.
No way.
It was their first, I can't remember their name right now. Hold on, I'm going to look it up right now. But it was this person's first Buffy episode.
Oh my god, I'm so impressed because there are so many Steven lines DeKnight. In here. Thank you, Steven. We really appreciate it. I, like, in my notes, I wrote down, like, two or three times as many direct quotes. Oh, he's directing
the Pacific Rim sequel.
He's directing it?
Yeah.
Wow, great job, Steven. We're very proud of you.
He co-wrote the script. Interesting. Oh, cool. Anyway, great.
Wow. I can't writer. Wait to see that movie, by the way. but yeah, so okay, yeah. So I wrote down like the direct quotes like two or three times more than I normally do because there were so many that I just loved. Mm-hmm. So another part. Okay, so they're having the birthday party, then Dawn like can't take it anymore. It's like everybody's acting weird when I'm around. I hate that. And they like they're like trying to keep her protected or something, but her last thing that she says I'm just gonna go up into my room so I don't get exposed to like words.
Yeah.
and then walks away. I love that line. And I felt so sorry for her this episode.
And this episode, I was thinking about this when I was watching it. We've talked about this before. I don't understand why people don't like Dawn.
Me either.
I genuinely cannot grasp it in my mind because either you were never a teenager or you have no empathy. Like,
yeah.
She has been put through so much. And when she comes out, like, genuinely, I think one of the, I would say the top 10 most, like, harrowing moments of the entire series for me is when Dawn comes out when she's cut herself.
Yeah.
Like, it just because takes your breath away.
She doesn't know what to do. She's like, because she has it in the, okay, so, oh my god. Yeah, just her reaction to this, I felt was really realistic, which is hilarious.
Exactly. Because
A, it's Buffy.
Right.
B, she's not real.
Right.
But C, she is.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And like, I just thought.
It's such a human reaction. It really is such like a, like, a human teenage reaction to, like, question your... in the broader sense, question your place in, like, what's right. happening in your life.
Yeah.
And for her, obviously, it's taken, like, to the extreme. Like, this show is just a one big metaphor about, like, growing up and being a teenager and, like, becoming mm-hmm. an adult. But, like, you know, and a lot of, you know, and this is around the age when, you know, when Dawn is 14, that's around the age when a lot of people start struggling with depression or self-harm, you know, and it's just because, like, there's just so many feelings and you don't know how to deal with them.
Yeah.
And, like, she just, it's so sad. It's such sad scene.
It's, like, even furthermore, she literally, like, what's that line that's like, am I not human? Do I not bleed? Do you know what I mean?
Right. Isn't that from Shakespeare or something like
that? That's what I think it is. It's something like that. But, yeah, like, she has this, because she knows when she finally gets the last piece of information, because she's been able to tell that something's been going wrong for a while. A, the serpent bit, which is what came up. B, I'm making a lot of lists today. But,
it's but from, then, like, all the, sorry, it's from The Merchant of Venice. And okay. It's talking about, Jewish people, and it's saying, like, do we not have hands? Do we not have passions? You know, do we not eat the same food, hurt with the same, like, heart? In the, you know, if you prick us, do we not bleed?
That's it, yeah.
And so, yeah, exactly.
Like, it's that she goes immediately to this really existential place because, so she gets all this information and everything that she's been holding in her back pocket, or she's just been, like, filing this stuff away of, like, why are people treating me weird? And for her, it's all of a sudden because she has this memory of this life up until this point.
Yeah.
And so for like, from her point of view, she's like, people are in the last 6 months, people have been treating me.
That's
really
a really
weird.
Good point. I have not even thought of that.
Yeah. And so she thinks that like she's lived her entire life or she's lived a couple of years now in Sunnydale and now, all of a sudden, crazy people are coming up to her and pointing at her and telling her that she's empty.
Right.
And stuff like that. And so she's already been, like, filing this away. And then the snake was scared of her when it was not scared of anybody else.
Yeah.
And so she had this, like, she's been, like, keeping track of all this stuff. And then when she sits down and has the, like, it's Giles's handwriting.
Yeah.
And it's just talking about the key and all these things. Like, she knows it's hers.
Can I would like to commend, I really want to commend Michelle Trachtenberg for this episode. It's just like, I don't know. It's hard, I think, to get this kind of role and not to be like, you can be kind of like, I don't know. I don't want to say like screechy or like whatever, but like, I think it takes like a really special performance to like turn this character into like someone that like you really care for.
And, yeah, like, I completely love Dawn. Agree. Because like, I mean, I'll tell, like, if I was asked to play a teenager right now, I'd probably play it wrong. Mm-hmm. And I'd probably play it kind of.
I wonder how old she was when she, sorry, please keep talking.
No, please find out. Oh, please.
Oh, please find out. Please keep talking.
But yeah, like, God, it's just, I mean, I'm assuming she was around this age. Do you know?
She was born in 85, so she was 15.
Okay, yeah, so that's about right. But, like, whenever I watch her, I remember feeling like that.
Yeah.
In this episode, and just feeling like, what does this mean? just so confused, but also, like, oh my God, I don't know. I don't even have the words for it. But yeah, like, I know what you're talking about, where it's like, this really could have come across as fake and, like, kind of contrived, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Where she's like, I'm pretending to find out that I'm not real. But she just does it so well. And I'm so proud of her.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if we can tweet her. Let's try to tweet her.
I don't know.
Does she have a Twitter?
She was not happy with her, I know she wasn't happy with her Buffy, just how she looked in the EW Buffy photo shoot. I don't know if she, like, is one of those people that, like, you know, some people are like, oh, man, don't come up to me about this one role that I had or whatever. I wonder if she's like that. Maybe I'm getting that idea because she was someone really mean in Gossip Girl, so I'm like, maybe she's really mean.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
Also, fuck Gossip Girl.
Yeah. She plays Georgina Sparks.
Yeah, fuck Georgina. I watched the first season of that show, and I was like, I have to leave. Bye.
My mom says I have to go home.
Yeah.
But I also thought, and we, basically every episode he's in, we're like, damn, what an actor. But James Marsters.
Oh, my God.
He gave the performance. Every episode for him is the performance of a lifetime. He's incredible.
There's one scene I want to get to. Okay, so first of all, Spike and Dawn, I had never placed them together, per se.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly just because, you know, Buffy's protective of Dawn, and right now she's so furious with Spike, which soothes this episode. Which I was grateful about, because I was, like, it was starting to hurt me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Being like, when are they gonna make up, right?
But yeah, when are they gonna be cool?
Yeah. But they do this episode. So anyway, okay, yeah. So she comes outside of the party. She sneaked out, if my mom's listening to this now, so I have to use correct grammar. But yeah, so she sneaks out, and Spike's out there waiting, and she goes, "Wow, lurk much," which is another part that I love.
Ah, so 90s.
And he says, "I'm not lurking, I'm standing about. It's a completely different vibe," and which is another line that I love. And he's got the busted up chocolates. Mm-hmm. Why are they busted up? We don't know.
He threw them at the Buffy mannequin.
Oh, I had completely forgotten about that.
He threw it at her when he was having a fake conversation with her.
That's hilarious. Yeah, so she's like, Buffy's going to hate that, you know, and which hurts his feelings. But anyway.
Also
so
very then, teenager, just say things.
Right. So then they go to the magic shop, and Spike is genuinely going with her to protect her.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, I already kind of thought that, just because, well, A, Spike doesn't do things that he doesn't want to do.
Right. Like, and no one can make him do anything he doesn't want to.
Yeah. And then after the scene with him and Buffy, which is the scene I want to talk about.
But
anyway, so they go there, and he's flipping through the books with her. And then he realizes that she's the key. And he says, "Well, that must be you, Niblet."
Yeah.
Which I thought, again, I'm really shocked that this is this person's first Buffy episode. I mean, I'm sure, they probably had input from the other writers, which is nice. But then it's perfect voice,
mm-hmm.
I think. I think the way that everybody behaves and acts, and even you can tell in the last scene with Glory when they're fighting her, the little things that they do, like Giles distracts her with an attack that they know is gonna not do anything. He shoots her with like a fucking rubber arrow or something. and she goes, "Wow, really?" But they did that so that Xander could sneak around and smack her on the back of the head. Mm-hmm. Like that fits perfectly in with what I know about them and the way that they fight.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know that they don't have an advantage here, and so they create disadvantages with distractions and things like that and mm-hmm. smoke screens. But anyway, so Dawn finds out, she comes home, she hurts herself, and she, you know, she immediately goes to that place where she's like, "I'm not human, so what happens if I get hurt," right? Because she's never been hurt. And I think people go, I mean, I think that's why a lot of self-harm happens, is because people, like, don't feel real,
uh-huh.
and they, like, have to see. And just, like, that urge that it's, like, I have to know if I'm actually human or not. And she's also doing it on top of that. She's doing it because she wants proof,
mm-hmm.
right? She comes in and she's crying to Buffy, and she goes, "It can't be me, right? This is blood." She says, that's her question when she comes out. She says, "Is this blood?"
Yeah.
Because she feels
this sounds like I'm making it up, but I'm really not. It's like giving me chills. Just like that line.
Yeah. Where she comes out and she's like, "Am I imagining this?"
Yeah.
Like, how much of this is real? And so she's saying, like, so if I bleed, it can't. And then they say, they react, and it's obviously blood based on the way that they're reacting. So then she goes, "Oh, thank God, so it's not me." Mm-hmm. And they're like, "Well, no." And, oh, man, yeah, that scene is really great. So they kick everybody out, and they go up into Dawn's room, and they're talking, and she can't handle it.
Yeah, and she's like, and she's upset with them because they knew.
Right, right.
And they didn't tell her.
I think I would have done the same thing that they did.
Yeah, it really is just like, it's such a, like, it's just like a damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like,
anything
you do in this situation is going to be bad. Like, if you keep it from her and she finds out, then she's angry. If you tell her, It's still just, like, there's just so much danger involved.
Yeah. And I also think it was unrealistic to expect her to not find out, though. I mean, Glory's literally here. They're talking about the key all the damn time.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I was surprised because they were, like, I forgot that this was the episode that, like, everyone finds out. Because Buffy and Giles were just, like, guess we should tell them.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, the thing is, this is another thing that I really love about the episode. Buffy sees Willow's face
mm-hmm.
when Willow's like, "You didn't fucking tell me?"
Yeah.
And it's like, and we've all been doing all this research trying to figure out what the key is and where it is. And you knew and you didn't, you just had us flipping through books for hours.
Right.
Knowing we weren't going to find anything.
Mm-hmm.
And she sees Willow's face and she's like, yeah, no, it's time. We got to tell him. So, yeah. But anyway, so then this is the best scene of the episode. And, man, I wonder how much different it would be if it was somebody else playing Buffy or somebody else playing Spike. But Buffy goes to the crypt, and she fucking kicks the door down.
Yeah.
Which is what I always love.
and then she, and like, she, almost cuts him in half.
No, she's just trying slab, to pin him.
Yeah, it's just, like, with the slab of stone on top of his bed.
Bed? Yeah, so he's sitting on top of the, what is, I guess it's like a tomb in the, tomb, in the middle,
I guess,
of the,
it's like a tomb inside the crypt.
Right. So, so he's sitting on top of it and he's painting his fingernails and, and she like, she does like a, you know, the magician's pulling the tablecloth
yeah.
out from under the dishes type of trick. And she pulls that thing off and he falls into it and then he sits up and she pushes it in and it pins him inside the, like, he's sitting up, but he's, it's pinning him to the coffin. I'm trying to describe mm-hmm. it for our listeners. But,
yeah.
So she pins him, and they start talking. And something else that I had kind of forgotten, and it's because we haven't seen the side of him in so long. Spike can't hurt Buffy because of the chip in his brain, but he used to be able to.
Yeah.
And you see that instinct kind of come out when she's, like, blaming him for all of this.
Oh, yeah, he's mad.
Well, and it's because he's, for the first time in the centuries that he's been alive, he's trying to do right.
Yeah.
And she is not helping him at all, and she's not even believing him when right. he says that he's trying to change. And in his mind, he's like, I don't have to fucking do this, you know?
Yeah. That's exactly it. He's like, I'm doing this because I love you.
Yeah.
Like,
and also because I genuinely want to become better, which has Buffy had a huge part in that, in yeah. like creating that desire in him. But like for the first time in his life, he wants to be good and nobody's letting him.
Yeah.
And so, which, like, they have reason to not believe him, too. But, right. like, from his point of view. So he stands up and he fucking throws the lid of the coffin, like, across the room. And he's, like, kind of stalking towards her. And mm-hmm. It's a good scene.
Oh, my gosh.
You see the predatory side of him that's been suppressed by this chip. And it was interesting. And he's also above her.
Mm-hmm.
For, like, physically, for the first time.
Yeah.
And so it was just, like, this thing where, like, Buffy, especially for the past 10 episodes or so, she's had this huge hold on him.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not in control of it anymore.
Right.
If that makes sense. That's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, oh, this is so typical. Oh, wait, there's one thing. So she pins him to the coffin, and he is not even worried about it because... Well, A, if Buffy was going to stake him, she would have done it by now.
Clearly there's something holding her back.
Why do I keep saying A? I don't even have a B.
Do you not have a B?
I did, and then I, like, started laughing, and it slipped out of my head. And I was like, Caroline, stop making lists, because you're going to forget what you're going to say next.
Oh.
But anyway, so she pins him, and he goes, be careful, these are wet, you know? And I love that line, too. Again, I'm reeling that this is this person's first episode. I know. How many times have I said that, too? But,
But same, though.
Yeah, I know. So, they have this... Oh, yeah, he says, oh, this is so typical. Something goes wrong, and you blame Spike. Which has really been a theme, especially since Riley left.
Mm-hmm.
Because something went wrong, and Spike had nothing to do with it. He just told Buffy it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, would she rather Riley miss that opportunity to leave for Belize, and then she finds out that he's been getting sucked off by vampires, and then now she's stuck with him here?
Yeah.
You know, and, like, they'd still be going to the same school and stuff like that. I mean, I'm sure he would have found some other way to get back into the military, but it's like... Like, this was really the best-case scenario, considering the choices that Riley made independent of himself.
Yeah.
And Spike knows that, and Buffy is still like, you're the reason that my boyfriend likes vampires now, right. Which is not true. If anything, Buffy's the reason that her boyfriend went to go see vampires, because he didn't fuck with vampires until Buffy came along and was like, have you ever had sex with a vampire? It's really great.
Yeah,
like,
boy, I tell you.
Yeah. So, anyway, but... So they get into this argument, and Spike points out to her that he's like, she would have figured this out anyway. I went with her to protect her. And, I mean, there's a really good chance that something else could have happened to Dawn in between her house and the magic shop that night, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, in another universe, in another TV show. But, yeah, and I really believe that he went there to protect her.
Yeah.
I really think that. Let's see. I'm trying to look at my notes, and I don't even have that many for, that scene, because I was so enthralled by it.
Initially Buffy's, it's kind of nice. I love Buffy so much. Like, I love her as a person and as a character. It's kind of nice to see her, like, shaken or, right. like, you know, put on her, on the defense or something like that. Because Spike was like, she came for Spike. Like, she was like, you let her find out. You, like, I cannot believe you went with her to the magic shop. Like, I cannot believe you let her. And he, she gets it all out. And then he's like, excuse me. Yeah. And then he's like, she would have found out whether or not I was there. I was there to protect her from getting hurt. You are blaming me because I'm the only one in your life that you can yell at without feeling guilty. Like.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like, I'm the only, like, and that really, it's like, he is the only person in Buffy's life right now that she can just rip apart, and she doesn't, like, fall asleep being like, oh, I yelled at Spike. It's not like if she, like, got mad at Willow or Giles or her mom. Yeah. Like, Spike is the only person, it's like a guilt-free, it's just like having a punching bag, basically. He says, like, I can't remember if it's in this episode or if it's in another episode, but he calls it Kick the Spike.
It's
another game of Kick the Spike. Like, and that's how she sees it.
Yeah, and that's how she's treating him, and he knows that. And I think it's another reason they're equals. Like, that's another thought that went through my head, because obviously I watch these episodes from an analytical standpoint. Like, I'm not just consuming them.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when he does stalk towards her, and he is, like, she pins him to the coffin, and he fucking throws it across the room.
Yeah.
And also, that plus last episode, when she brings Dawn and Joyce to his place and tells him, you're the only one strong enough to protect them,
mm-hmm.
Like, they're closer to equals than anybody else on the show, which is the same thing that I knew with Angel. But, like, it was just different because Spike has been making the transition from bad guy to good guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, that was another thing that I kind of realized this episode. And it's another reason that Buffy treats him the way that she does, because she can see that and she feels that connection of, like, you and I get it. We know what it's like to have power over people.
Right.
And to be able to do whatever you want. Like, that's one of the reasons. Because it's, like, one of those things where, okay, so you know when you have a friend who, like, communicates the exact same way that you do? Mm-hmm. So whenever you get into a fight, you don't have to worry about, like, okay, well, I felt this way when you did this, and I still love you, and, like, really sugarcoating it. Mm-hmm. Whenever you have a friend who communicates the same way that you do, you can be like, okay, you did this, and then they're like, oh, fuck, I did. Okay, well, you did this, you know, and you can just, mm-hmm. there's no mincing, right?
Right.
It's just straight up, and that's kind of how it feels a lot of the time.
And I think that's another...
I love it, Beth. I'm having a great time this season.
It's a good season. I'm having a blast. I freaking love it. That's another... I think what you said kind of brought up something that I've been thinking about a lot, because I've never thought about it before, but how similar Spike and Faith are.
Interesting.
Because, like, you said, like, they both have this power over people, and it's like, Buffy and Angel are very similar in that they both, like, they have this power, but they have this, like, sense of justice along with it.
Right, yeah.
You know, whether or not that's, you know, super helpful all of the time, you know, that's up to you or whatever. But, like, they're similar. They're very similar people. And then Spike and Faith have the same power, but they are definitely more chaotic, either chaotic neutral or chaotic evil.
I think Spike's, they're chaotically evil.
They're not evil. Like, neither of them are evil. I mean, maybe Spike was at one point, and maybe Faith was for, like, 2 weeks. But, like, they both have this, like, they both have had people, like, looming over them. Like, Buffy, whether or not she meant to or not, Buffy, mm-hmm. Buffy's, like, legacy. Legacy's a good word for it. Buffy's legacy looming over Faith. Angel looming over Spike.
Right.
They both trying to get out of those images.
And the thing is that it's just that they came, like, the point that they were in their lives, like, that's when Buffy met them. So the thing is that Buffy met Angel when he had already regained his soul and had already been good for a long time and had already been really working on, like, drinking donated blood or whatever he was doing.
Yeah.
I don't even.
But, eating rats in New York City.
Exactly. Like, he had already, she didn't know him at the point where he was eating rats. She had already seen him, or she met him at this point where he was already good for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And she met Faith and Spike when they're at these crossroads points. And, well, she met Spike before he got there, but now he's at them, you know?
Right.
And, but she met Faith when she was at this crossroad point where she walks in, she's like, "What's up? I'm the Slayer." Like, she literally just found out she was the Slayer. She hasn't had any time to practice or to figure out what she's going to do with that information before Buffy starts telling her how she thinks she should do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that's just from there, like, fuck Faith. But,
yeah.
But, you know what I mean? Like, and so, I think, I mean, there's a frustration there when you're just trying to do well and somebody is still just like, still not good enough. Like, I still don't like it. So, I don't know. But this scene was so good. And then, like, that kind of handled some things. And, you know, Spike's really been standing his ground where Buffy's been like, "Well, you made my boyfriend get eaten by vampires." And Spike's like, "No, I didn't." And then she says it again. He goes, "No, I didn't." And he, like, hasn't been doing anything other than just saying, like, "I didn't fucking do anything." And I think it's just, like, finally, just, like, by being stable and consistent in the way that he feels about everything that's happened, I think it's really helping Buffy, like, come to terms with the stuff that's going on right now. And it's a lot. God, it's so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Oh,
this
man.
This show is a lot deeper than a lot of people give it credit for. I will say.
Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree. I mean, I'm one of the people that season one, I was like, I mean, it's on record. I'm saying that, like, I don't really get it. I don't really like camp.
Yeah.
And then it gets to a point where it is not campy anymore. And, and when it is campy now, it's like really well done and stuff like that. And I misunderstood the show for a while, you know?
I'm still learning, like, I'm coming into a lot of, like, realizations about the story and themes and stuff like that, even watching it and talking about it now, like, and I love Buffy. I've seen it all the way through, like, 3 times, but, like, it's just such a good show. And then, the scene later, when they're in the graveyard. Are they in a graveyard or are they just in the woods? I can't remember.
They're on the playground.
So Spike and Buffy, and they for the first time ever in the entire show, besides, like, last episode, kind of, they talk to each other like they are friends.
Yep.
For the first time. It is a monument. Like, I am dramatic when it comes to Spike and Buffy, because I freaking love them. But, like, this is a huge, huge, huge moment in this story.
I mean, like, I'd say it's right there with when Buffy's been crying and she's sitting on the back stoop and Spike shows up there to kill her and then he sees her crying and he stops.
Yes.
It's like, and that was more of a, like, a shifting point, and this is where things start to kind of stabilize. And what happens right before it that is something that I kind of took note of is, like, she's – okay, so Dawn – I don't remember why, but she runs away again. Oh, yeah, she's Okay,
she went to the hospital.
Mishears something. Yeah, she mishears something that Buffy was talking about with Joyce.
Yeah, so
and it's
Buffy,
just super unfortunate.
Yeah, so basically, like, Dawn thinks Buffy's, like, she's a thing.
Yeah.
She's not my sister.
No, she was trying to explain to her mom that, like, you can't treat her just like she's a daughter. Like, this is next level. Mm-hmm. And that's what she was trying to say, is that, you know, she needs answers. And Buffy was right. Buffy, like, she... Okay, so Buffy pisses Dawn off. Dawn runs off again just to run off, but then she sees an ambulance, and she's like, I'm gonna go find those crazy people that know what I am. And
yeah,
so...
see if they'll be able to tell me.
Yeah, so she goes to the hospital, and she's talking to them, trying to find out the exact stuff that Buffy was saying that she needs to know.
Yeah.
That, like, she needed answers. She needed to know how long she'd been around. She needed to know why she was created. She needed to know, like, what she was. She needed more details. Mm-hmm. And like, Joyce was right, too, right? That's the whole point. But, yeah. But anyway, so she goes there, and she's talking to the crazy people, and the Byzantium Knight is in there, and he's like, the key's here. And so she's talking to him. Ben finds her. Ben, the intern, who's also a god.
yeah, we find out their connection this episode, which they're not brother and sister, but they're something like it.
Yeah, it's like they're, like, the same person. It reminds me of, like, Janus, I guess, is, like, the Greek god with two faces.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he's a symbol, but it's, like, it's kind of different than that, because Ben's, like, a good guy, and Glory's, like, the bad guy, you know, and I think Janus was evil on both sides, but, but anyway, so,
but you didn't come here for learning, for school
no,
learning.
No, you didn't, did you? So Ben finds Dawn, and they sit down, and they're talking about it, and Ben's just trying to help, because he recognizes there's a kid here, who does not have a grown up with them. And it's like the middle of the night. And so he's like talking with her, trying to figure out what's going on. And she ends up being like, I'm not her sister. Oh yeah. But he's like, you know, Buffy, your sister wants to know where she is and, or where you are. And Buffy's like, whoa, hold on. So Dawn's like, I'm not her sister. And she's like, I'm just a key. I'm a fucking thing.
Yeah.
And Ben, she doesn't realize that Ben's going to know what that means.
Right.
And he does, and then he tells her to run.
Mm-hmm. Because he
knows.
And
then he turns into Glory.
yep. He transforms right in front of our eye holes.
Yep. And, so she's Glory now, and Glory's like, hey, don't I know you?
Yeah.
And Glory
doesn't... This is such a good reveal.
Isn't it? So Glory doesn't know anything that they, Ben knows.
Yeah, so you kind of piece it together through context clues that they, when they transform, they don't remember anything that happened when the other was them.
Yeah.
So, like, Glory has no idea what she and, what Ben and Dawn were talking about. Ben has no idea what Glory does when he is her.
Which is crazy. It's crazy. Because now, first of all, it's crazy that it's, like, Glory's running around killing all these people, and then Ben shows up and is like, why are there 6 new patients in the insanity ward, or whatever it's
called?
Right.
I mean, I'm sure he figures it out, but he just doesn't remember doing it.
Yeah, not at first, anyway. And, can you imagine being like, oh, man, I took the brains
again
from 6 more people again. Yeah. And then on top of that, now Ben knows who and where the key is, and Glory doesn't.
Yeah.
And so like,
and
now
so Ben can't
other...
like feign ignorance anymore.
Yeah.
Like whenever her minions come to talk to him, he can't.
Yeah.
I mean, he can and he should and he will probably. I don't remember.
Yeah.
But like, he can't. Like, it's the same thing. It's like, it's just like he was safer not knowing.
Exactly. Yeah.
And now he knows.
But anyway, so Glory has this conversation with Dawn, which is also a great scene. Because Dawn is trying to figure out, well, okay, so she needs Glory to think that she needs Dawn.
Yes.
So that Dawn doesn't die.
it's the same conversation about power that they had last episode.
Right. And then Dawn also needs answers from Glory, but Glory can't find out that Dawn needs answers from her.
Right.
And
like,
so,
yeah.
Oh man.
She has to think that Dawn is genuinely trying to, like, betray her sister.
Right. So she's, like, trying to figure all that out, and they have this really tense conversation, and then Glory's like, I think that you have no idea where my key is, and you're just stalling.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay, well, whatever. If you're no help, then I'm gonna just suck your brains out, because I've been meaning to
You find out that Glory's, like, losing her mind the longer she stays on Earth.
Okay.
Like, she, that's why she's eating brains.
Right.
Is because the longer she's there, the crazier she gets. And she can't survive, basically, without sucking brains.
So Ben doesn't need to suck brains, right?
I mean, he doesn't. Like, he literally, he doesn't. But he does.
Because he's Glory. Glory. Yeah. Right. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway. So, Buffy shows up right in the nick of time, and it's the whole... Okay, they actually go to the hospital because they've been looking for Dawn for a long time with no help, and they're like, something could have happened to her, right? Because there's... I mean, you know Sunnydale. So they go to the hospital just to see if she's there, but
Before that, Spike and Buffy have that conversation.
Right, where Spike's like, you're going to find her.
Yeah.
That's another great line. He says, you're going to find her just in the nick of time. That's what you hero types do. And he calls her a hero.
Yeah, and she says, it's just a good scene. She tells him, she's like, you were right. She's just like, there was nothing that we could have done.
Right.
She should have found out. Like, it wasn't your fault. She was going to find out anyway. And it's like the... God, it's just very touching.
Great.
It's a very touching scene. Because it obviously means the world to Spike. Like, it obviously, like, just probably just... means a whole lot to him that she
you're evil and you're trying to become good, and then the person who stands on the line between good and evil says you're doing okay.
Right.
Like that it feels nice. Like, even if it wasn't coming from Buffy, who he's in love with, like, she's still like a bit of a huge gatekeeper. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. But anyway, so Buffy shows up. They fight Glory. They do a really good job as a group.
Yeah.
They do a really good job. And Tara and Willow.
I miss the group fighting.
Me too. It's been a while. Oh my God. It's been Buffy and Riley fighting for so long. You know, I'd completely forgotten about him until Willow asks her, like, you didn't even get a card
right.
from him. Yeah. But on her birthday, I mean. But anyway, so they fight him. Willow and Tara figured out a teleportation spell that goes over great. But it takes a lot out of Willow. But she's getting there. I know it. So, and they teleport her. They said, we're still working out the kinks. And Buffy says, well, where'd you send her? And Willow's like, that's one of the kinks. Mm-hmm. And she sent her, like, 50,000 feet up in the air.
Right.
And so you see Glory, like, drop to the earth. And you know she's okay because they already told us that she's, like, invulnerable, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But, or that's the word they use, actually. But, so that's really satisfying, too. And funny, you know?
Yeah.
It's,
Glory's a good villain. Glory's a good villain, y'all.
Oh,
I love her.
God, she's fantastic.
There's so much about this season that is so good.
Mm-hmm. And so, so they fight her, and then, Glory, at one point in the fight, throws a crowbar at Dawn, intending to kill her. Buffy jumps in the way of it and takes it in the shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And,
which, ow. Even
Jesus,
if you
right?
are the Slayer.
I know. And she acts like it's nothing. She's like, oops, and, like, pulls the crowbar out. But, so she saves Dawn in front of it, and then Dawn is... bleeding, I guess, still?
Yeah, I mean, doesn't she get, like, shoved against a wall or something like that? I can't remember.
Yeah, that is what happens. Okay, so, then they have this really touching moment where they, like, share blood a little bit. Like, she's like, look at this. This is blood. It's the same blood that's in my veins. Like, this is Summer's blood. And,
because
they did that on purpose. Yeah, it literally is.
Yeah, the monks used Buffy's blood to create Dawn.
Oh, that's right. I completely forgot about that.
So but, it literally is the same exact blood. Like, they are the same they're not the same person, but they are the same, like, they're related. Like,
they're related. And so that's that really touching moment. And I think, like, blood just has such a theme in this show. At first I was like, ew.
Absolutely.
But it fits, it's perfect for what they're trying to convey. Mm-hmm. And it fits in with the show so well. And so they get up and they're still holding hands from whenever Buffy, like, put her blood on her hand and then touches Dawn's hand, which is also covered in blood. And they hold hands and they walk out and the gang's all safe and everything. And it's just really sweet. And after we've talked about it, I'll tell you, I'll give it a 10.
It is 10
worthy.
It's
decided. It's 10 worthy. It's absolutely 10 worthy. It's funny. I laughed out loud a couple of times.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied. I'm thoroughly satisfied.
I'm very excited for the rest of this season, and I'm very excited for, I like where things are going. This season sets up a lot of really awesome stuff. I mean, not awesome, like, it's not all gonna be great fun times, but it's, like, good storytelling. And I loved this episode so much. I loved it. What's the last episode? The last episode was fine. I remember it being fine, but this episode, it really just, like, stood out. And I think it's one of those
What do you rate it?
10. I said it was 10 worthy. Good.
You said it was 10 worthy. I didn't know if it was in agreement with me or you yourself.
Oh, no. Yes. No, I give it a 10 as well because I think it employs a lot of really awesome plot devices for the season, but it doesn't feel heavy. It, like, develops Dawn in a really natural way. It opens up a relationship between Dawn and Spike.
And which I love, because they're the dicks. They're the dicks of the show. Anya is a dick, but she doesn't know it. Spike and Dawn are like, don't you love being a dick to people?
Right.
And they're like, yeah, you know, like, it's fantastic. I love that relationship. And again, like, they've just been doing such a good job with just, like, little by little pushing Buffy and Spike closer to each other, you know, and just pushing Spike closer and closer to the group in general.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a great job.
And, like, it's just, they have such cool, like, brother-sister relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it develops really well, I will say. Like, I love their relationship. It just got such a good episode, and it starts just so much awesome stuff, for the rest of the season. So, yes, I give it a 10. And guys, we have an exciting announcement for next week for Crush. We are going to have a guest. We're going to have James from Unabashedly Obsessed with Aaron and James.
Wow.
Yes, that is their podcast. If you want to, give it a listen. They are very funny people. I'm excited for that. So you should listen. It's our first guest since season 4.
Because Karis was in
season
4.
Yeah, when was Karis?
Karis was on the episode with Jonathan, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Was that even season 4? Yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
It was like early. Superstar. It was Superstar. Holy crap. Yep. And we've got a bunch more guests coming, thanks to Facebook. because I finally was like, maybe other people should talk about this. Maybe other people want to talk about this. And guess what? They do.
I haven't talked to James, so we'll see.
We'll see.
You're on thin ice. We'll see if he passes my test. Yeah. All right, everybody, but I'm super excited about that. I'm super excited to meet James. I'm super excited because Beth, before we started recording, mentioned that the next episode was a Spike heavy episode, I believe.
Yeah.
Which sounds delectable to me.
I was thinking about the next episode and I called Skype Spike and I was like, I just kind of sat there and was like, oh,
which is close.
That happened.
But, you know, until then, follow us on Twitter at Buffy_speak. And,
we have an email. Nobody emails us, but we do have
Nobody
one.
Nobody ever emails us. It bums me out, but whatever, I guess. Anyway.
All right, guys.
We'll talk to you later, everybody.
Bye.